Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to it. Stink out again today doing national television stuff for Fox Sports. My man, Orlando Franklin, the Big O. Well,
there a little bit of Chelsea in that voice?
What?
It's like national television.
Well, no, I'm just saying. It's just that was not a jealousy voice. That was a just reaffirming what a big deal he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Kind of a big deal.
You know, the jealousy voice and the reaffirming the
yes.
big deal, they could be mistaken at times.
They can be because, all right, so jealousy would be Mark's out today. He's doing another national show.
He's peanut butter and jealous.
Another national show. But when I say Mark's out today because he's doing a national show, big time.
Yeah, big time.
Big time. Big time. But Big O sitting in, we got a lot of news to react to from yesterday, so let's jump right into it. You may have missed it. Last night, the Broncos signed a running back off a team's practice squad. But it is not.
Wow.
Philip Lindsay off the Colts practice squad. It is Latavius Murray off the Saints practice squad. And this one's kind of interesting because Murray just played the other day for the Saints in their game in London and was actually the Saints' leading rusher as he went 11 carries for 57 yards and a touchdown. And now he's a Denver Bronco. What do you think of the move?
Veteran guy. It's going to help with the protection aspect. So where we saw Mike Boone struggle this past week, you know, with the sack given up when they the Las Vegas Raiders were blitzing. I always want to say Oakland. It's so hard
to
say
Las Vegas. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while.
But it also helps you now with the checkdowns out of the backfield. You know, Latavius Murray has been used for that, whether he was a Oakland Raider back in the day or when he was a part of the Minnesota Vikings or now being a part of the Saints. You know, they do use their running backs in the passing game. So immediate answer, I would say that this sign-in right away, just off the bat, is, hey, Mike Boone, we're not impressed with you because this is kind of the stuff that Mike Boone does. Now, not a special teams addition like Mike Boone is because Latavius is a little bit older, typically doesn't play as much special teams as he once did, but he does a lot of the things that Mike Boone does for the Broncos in that role. So I'm thinking that that's how you kind of plug him in immediately. And it's always easier to kind of plug guys in I would say the passing game a little bit more, which is kind of opposite. If you think about it, you would think that you get a running back. Oh my goodness gracious. You could plug him into the running game. And hey, all we got to tell him is that we're running 36 power and power is power because you've been running it since Little League football. And this offense, as far as how it's ran with the outside zone and you got to press it one gap at a time, I anticipate Latavius Murray coming in immediately and helping out in passing down situations where Russ is saying the whole play in the huddle, saying, hey, Latavius, you got this. And that's how you're going to have to babysit him because he plays so soon and he doesn't know the terminology. But I really think that the Broncos have just got better in their blitz pickup from the running back position.
All right, so here's a little bit of the bio on Murray. Ninth year in the league. He's 32. He's 6'3", 230. Big guy. And he's moved around. Oakland, Minnesota, the Saints, Baltimore. Now back to the Saints this year. Never really been necessarily RB1. You know, he's always been kind of the compliment guy, but very solid running back and somebody who has a nose for the end zone. Somebody who over the course of his career has 50 touchdowns and is, you know, routinely over the last, well, really the last 8 years is always somewhere between about, you know, 5 and 8 touchdowns per season. So big guy. as you said, the things he could do in the passing game, and he has a nose for the end zone. So, and he clearly can step right in and play. He just played on Sunday. Probably doesn't like the idea of having to jump in on a Thursday night game, but at least he's on the active roster. So is this give me the running back depth chart for Thursday night now.
I think it's obviously going to be Melvin Gordon, and it's going to be a heavy dosage of Melvin Gordon. But what Latavius Murray also allows you to do is, hey, Mel, you want to put the ball on the ground? We know we can't bench you this week. We know that. If for the Denver Broncos, benching Melvin Gordon would be the worst thing, and just plugging in Latavius Murray and Mike Boone, you're just not going to do that. But what you can do is, when you do get in the red area, that's how you punish Melvin Gordon. That's how you let him know that what he has been doing is not going to be acceptable, because you have a running back that has a nose for the end zone, and you could sit there and really just talk it through on the sidelines. Hey, this is exactly the play that we're running, or, you know, you're talking it through all throughout the weekend, and you're putting in a goal line package for him. So I think it's going to be Melvin Gordon to start the football game. I think when the Broncos get into red area, you know, if they're trying to hold this team accountable, it'll be Latavius Murray, and it'll also be Latavius Murray on third down for the Broncos this week.
Something else that probably is music to Bronco fans' ears, Murray has just 9 career fumbles, an average of 1 every 168 attempts.
That's nice.
By comparison, yes. Gordon, now we know Gordon's recent struggles with the fumbles, but
super duper bad.
His numbers overall over the course of his career is about 1 in every 80 carries. This is double better.
Yeah, and Latavius Murray is probably not going to see 160 carries for the Broncos this year. Most likely not. You know, I don't think the Broncos are done when it comes to the running back room.
Right, I agree with you. I agree. I think this is the kind of short term we need to make a move for Thursday night move. And then once they get past Thursday night, step back, take a breath. We got 10, 11 days until they play that next Monday night against the Chargers, then reassess what they're going to do. It is a Leftovers Tuesday. We love going through all the leftovers from the game on Sunday, stuff that maybe slipped through the cracks on Monday in the immediate aftermath of the game and the breakdown and all that. So if you got some things that you want to comment on from the game on Sunday that maybe didn't get a lot of attention yesterday, now's the time. Weigh in, ramoslaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. Big O sitting in for Stink. Up next, did Nathaniel Hackett do a reversal? Beep, beep, beep. Backing up when it comes to Melvin Gordon. That's next.
Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Orlando in for Stink, who, you know, this texter might be onto something. Stink told me he's doing a bunch of TV stuff for Fox Sports this week. He'll be back on Friday, but I think a texter might be onto something. That's a false front. That actually Mark is out interviewing landscapers again.
Ha ha! Yeah.
Could be.
Well, whenever he figures out who he's going to go with, he needs to let me know.
Okay.
I tell you. I mean, I listened. Mark gets out there in the backyard, and he's figuring it out. Not a big landscaper, Mike. You know, I got to figure it out. I don't get nothing from doing landscaping work.
Oh, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. And not to the levels that Stink does, but I love it. Love being outside. Love working on the yard. Love the compliments from neighbors. Nah, it's good. It's good. You got to try it. On the Leftover Tuesday text line from the game, some of the things that maybe didn't get discussed a whole lot yesterday in the aftermath of the game that we're giving you a chance to get off your chest. Guys, outside of Cortland Sutton, the Broncos are what they are, a 500 football team.
Outside of Cortland Sutton, I do believe that when you look at this offense, the guys that you can really rely on are just Cortland Sutton and Russell Wilson to a certain extent. I still haven't seen a full football game where it's Russell Wilson of back in the day in Seattle. where he's commanding that thing, where it's the hand signals, it's sending guys deep, it's ripping off, you know, two or three long deep balls where you're saying, man, you feel really good about this football team. So, yeah, you know, when that texter's texting in, especially now with Javonte Williams going down with the ACL, it's going to be tough sledding for the remainder of the season.
But don't you think that as the season moves along and the offense continues to grow, aren't you just by going out there week after week, I would think Jerry Jeudy is going to get better. I'm not saying Jerry Jeudy's ever going to live up to where he was drafted. I'm saying he's going to get better. He's going to be more productive. And KJ Hamler, that had to be a positive moment for him. The big 50-yard reception. Mm-hmm. It's just one catch. I get it. But isn't that, for a guy that's been out of the mix for so long, isn't that the kind of play that gets him going, that Russell Wilson starts to gain some confidence? And Greg Dulcich is coming off of, you're laughing. All right, hold on. Just for people who've forgotten who Greg Dulcich is, and I don't blame you if you have. He's, of course, the guy they drafted, the tight end out of UCLA, who had that hamstring that just wouldn't get any better, and he missed all of training camp. So can he even make an impact this year?
So whenever Greg Dulcich does come back, at this point of the year, Mike, it's going to be, what does this kid do good? What, give me one thing that he does good, and we're going to try to get him to do that great by the end of the season. That's it. It's not going to be a lot of moving parts. We're not going to, you know, have him take strides in the run game as a blocker. And we're not going to have him take strides as well in the passing game as a blocker, as we saw the Broncos try to put Andrew Beck on Max Crosby this past week. We're not going to have him get, you know, great as a route runner. We're going to really have to just limit what we're trying to put on this kid's table, especially because he's been hurt all offseason. Hurt in OTAs, hurt in training camp. So I don't know that he's going to be able to catch up and get, you know, a full all-around game. When I start looking at these other guys, you just mentioned Jerry Jeudy. Yeah, I believe that Jerry Jeudy, you give him time, Russell Wilson's going to figure out Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy is exactly what he is. He runs great routes. He has fancy feet. He's able to get some separation if you're hitting him, but you have to stare him down. He doesn't work well within the system. So when he is the secondary read, you know, is he open at the exact time where Russell's eyes is going to be on him? Probably not. So he's probably not going to get a lot of balls thrown his way. But when you're staring him down and he is the read all day and he knows that, hey, they just called this play for me, he's going to get open right away. And Russ has to keep his eyes on Jerry Jeudy. But what's going to happen later on in the season? Defenses are going to recognize that. And now all of a sudden they're going to try to jump a route like Tafanga did last night with the 49ers, jumped around of Matthew Stafford and it's a pick six, where now you telegraph what you're doing. Here's the problem with Jerry Jeudy, and it's two people in the same week from his class. Monday Night Football last week, Dallas Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb catches the ball on his left sideline, and he sees a defender that's about 5 yards from the end zone, and he grabs that football and says, I'm going to run through your face right now. This past weekend, the Minnesota Vikings playing against the Saints out there in London. Justin Jefferson's not playing in front of his fans, but he gets a crossing route where he has two defenders run into each other and fall down. He catches the ball on the right side line of the field, and guess what he does? He turns it up, and after he gains about 15 yards, Mike, he could jump out of bounds and not take the hit, but he sees Marcus Lattimore and says, I'm going to run through your face right now. Jerry Jeudy this past week catches the ball on the sideline, has to go down to a knee, gets up, runs up a little bit, and jumps out of bounds, right? Doesn't like the physicality. Don't even really know if he loves football, to be honest with you, with what I've seen
really over
the first 3 years. Yes.
How do you get to this level and not love football?
How do you get to... Are you serious
right
now? Okay, so first of all...
Yeah, no, I...
Okay.
I know he's obscenely talented, sure.
Obscenely talented, absolutely. But every single year, there are guys that are in that locker room that are playing on football because they're obscenely talented.
Right.
That's it. Don't like the physicality of it. Don't like the grind of it. Don't like to sit there and watch film. Don't like coming in on a Monday and getting corrected. Hate the fact when a coach has to say anything to them. Heck, I've been in a locker room before where a guy has got cut or got put on IR for the Broncos. And I will not mention this guy's name. It's a guy in my 1 of 4 years here got put on IR. And he's like, man, thank goodness I got hurt because I knew they were getting ready to cut me and I was ready to get out of here.
53 men on an NFL roster. How many of them love football?
How many of them love football? Probably about 85%. For
okay.
sure.
Okay.
You're very high in the okay. numbers.
Boy,
but there are guys that are just
worried there.
Absolutely. Okay. Does Albert O love football? Year three. The knock on him since day one is that he won't put his face in there. He won't develop as a tight end that needs to be accountable to his team in the run game. In this offense, George Kittle, Pro Bowler.
Okay,
right?
All right. Let me.
Tyler
right,
Higbee, great football.
Let me push
player.
You on this. I want to push you on this. So you're basically saying if 85%, so you're looking at about five guys on this football team who don't love football.
Yes.
You've already said two.
Yes.
Get any more?
Do I have any more? I got to think about it.
All right, think about that.
I'll really think about it for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. I love the honesty. Okay. Wow. All right, Morning Brew. Coming up next, a momentous night last night. And it was just a preseason game. Who cares? A big, big moment for this guy coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
This is part of football. It's a physical game. We can't deny there's certain things we can't control. And as a team, we're going to band together and we're going to step it up and get better. And whoever has the opportunity to go in has to embrace it and be excited for it and play the best they've ever played.
Orlando Franklin in for Stink today. There's Nathaniel Hackett. Rough day yesterday. Rough day for the Broncos with the injuries. Javonte Williams, Randy Gregory. Javonte Williams. When you hear about the severity of this knee injury, do you have questions about whether or not he's going to be able to come back 100%?
Yes, 100%. Javonte Williams is going in. This was year three, right? This is year three. ACL, we've seen it with Courtland Sutton. We're seeing it right now with KJ Hamler. It's not a thing that, hey, you're out this year and next year you're back to full speed. I think there are severe questions as far as Javonte Williams going to be the same runner that he was. And I think his best days in a Denver Bronco uniform, unless George Payton is just so in love with him where he's saying, hey, we're going to give this guy a second contract, his best days as a running back for the Denver Broncos are behind him.
You know what's so tough about that is that he's always, from the moment he got here, the idea was this is going to be the guy.
The bell cow.
Right? This is going to be the guy eventually. And now we look at him and we never really, God, I hate talking to him in the past tense, but understand where I'm going with this. We just haven't seen him in that kind of role yet.
He's definitely
given
not
that
be
kind of
year.
Responsibility. So we don't really know what this guy's potential was, what his capabilities were.
We never used them the right way. And like I said, unless George Payton is saying the heck with it, we're giving him a second contract. I don't know how you do
now, this
that.
This is only year two. Now, hold on. This is year two. But second round pick, 4-year deal. So going into next year will be year three.
So we might see him become the bell cow in year four. Next year, I promise you, he's not going to be ready. The way he loves to run the football, he's not going to be able to handle that, 20 times a game. Heck, he might not even be able to do that 10 times a game coming off an ACL injury.
So you're hoping
next
by
year.
2024,
yes,
he's able, last year of his contract, to be, completely healthy, a year, full year plus removed from this, to be able to show what he can do to earn that second contract.
I just don't know how you do it any other way. KJ Hamler wearing a knee brace right now.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Cortland Sutton wearing a knee brace after that ACL surgery, right? So I'm anticipating Javonte Williams wearing that knee brace next year. Mm. And I just don't know how you say, here's the ball 20 times in a situation like that.
Randy Gregory, is this, you don't blame the guy for getting hurt, but you're not surprised, right? No, nobody looked at this signing and said, oh, automatically, you're getting a guy that's going to be out there 16, 17 weeks.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Randy Gregory has a little bit of the injury bug. That's what his career has been about all his life. And there's no thing that you could look at that he does in the offseason that you could point to specifically as far as why he continues to get hurt. But his body just doesn't hold up. His body.
So is it a mistake to sign him?
I think the way where the Broncos signed him, as far as the dollar amount, the value, good value where the Broncos signed him. You didn't have to break the bank. Heck, look what Von got out there in Buffalo. So I think it was a good sign-in for the price tag, even knowing that there's a little bit of an injury history there because you're signing them on what
good value for a part-time player. Good.
Yes.
I mean, that's what he is.
Yes.
He's a part-time player.
Good value for a part-time player at the outside linebacker position. And when he's out there on the field, you can see games where he's had a direct effect on football games.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I just need to feel right. I think that's it. I think I'm confident in my ability to hoop. It's just, you know, if my leg's not functioning the way it needs to, then it's kind of tough.
Welcome back, Jamal Murray. It took 539 days, but Jamal Murray was back in a preseason game last night. The Nuggets lost. Who cares? All that matters is Jamal Murray played 15 minutes, scored 10 points. Michael Porter Jr. played 14 minutes, scored 12 points. The Nuggets, at least for now, are whole.
We're back.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
That means strike up the band, right? There's hope here in...
What are your expectations for this season?
I expect the Nuggets to definitely get over their... They're over-under for the wins for the season.
Yep.
I think it's right around 50.
Right around 50, yep.
If these guys are healthy, I expect this team to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Western Conference Finals for me.
Yeah.
With this team and the four guys that they have as their core, adding guys like Bones Highland, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Bruce Brown, I think that there's no reason why, with good health, this team shouldn't be in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, you just look at kind of what Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. does for this basketball team if they're in the lineup night in, night out. You know, Aaron Gordon, now you become the fifth option for this basketball team if everybody's healthy with that starting unit. Last year, there were times where Aaron Gordon was your number two option.
Yeah.
Right?
But that should make him a better player this year, and if that's your fourth or fifth option.
Absolutely.
So that's why the expectations should be so high.
Yeah, so it all should gel together, and this team is definitely going to be better at defending the perimeter, so defending the three-point line. But this team will be better at getting offensive rebounds as well, so second-chance opportunities.
Next on the Morning Brew. Avalanche preseason hockey win last night, 3-1 in Dallas. What's worth mentioning in this one, they got a goal from Evan Rodriguez, who was a free agent pickup from Pittsburgh. And again, just another example that Joe Sakic and Chris McFarland are playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. I love this move. This is the guy that you're looking at to not necessarily just player for player replacing Nazem Kadri, but to help kind of mitigate the sting of losing Kadri. You get a guy who is 29 years old, just turned 29, and is coming off a career year in Pittsburgh where he had 19 goals and 24 assists.
Yep. And that's what makes
play center.
And that's what makes it so exciting for this Avalanche team, because Evan Rodriguez is 29 years old, but he just came off that career year.
Yep.
Guys come to the Avalanche, and it's like Peyton Manning's at the Avalanche, where he elevates everybody that's around him.
Yep.
Right? So I'm looking for a guy like Evan Rodriguez to take another step that we never have seen. Because even though we saw last year the 19 goals out there with Pittsburgh, the years before that, not that successful. Right? I mean, you had 19 goals, and the closest thing that he ever got to that was in year four when he was with Buffalo, and that was 9 goals. Right? So he was able to make such a big jump, and look for him to make another big jump, especially with the way the Colorado Avalanche play hockey. And when you sign with the Avs, you understand that there is no other type of way of hockey. It is all gas, no brakes.
Yep.
We're going to play as fast as possible, and we beat people with our athleticism. So look for Evan Rodriguez to hold down that second line center, but also have career numbers again, in my opinion, this year.
Rodriguez, a goal and assist last night in the win. Next on the Morning Brew.
Third down and 3. Quick throw. What a catch. Samuel stays upright. Terrific catch and run. One-on-one with Ramsey. Can't bring him down. Samuel. Highlight reel. Touchdown.
ESPN Monday Night Football. 49ers look good last night. Look good. Beating the Rams 24-9. Do you feel better about
He's back.
Do you feel better about the Broncos? Who's back?
My father-in-law, Bobby Turner, is back.
The running back whisperer.
Came out of retirement last week, Thursday, for the 49ers, and he is back on those sidelines. Sat him last night, and my, that run game looked good for San Francisco. Looked like the Rams were worried about it. And the San Francisco 49ers looked like a completely different team last week on Monday Night Football versus Sunday Night Football.
San Francisco's going to win that division.
Yes.
They're going to win that division. And should you feel better about the Broncos' win over the 49ers after what you saw yesterday for them?
Yes, yes. You always feel good when you look at opponents that have beaten teams. You know, I can tell you this. Last year, well, not last year, in February, sitting at home watching the Rams win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You being with the 49ers.
49ers the game before.
Yeah.
Beating the Rams twice in the regular season. I felt really good about where we were at, where that football team was at, for sure. Even though we were at home, it was still like, man, this is kind of surreal. We beat this football team twice.
We.
I wasn't part of that organization.
As Stink would say, you got a mouse in your pocket? Hey. We.
They were writing the checks last year. They were writing the checks.
All right. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Coming up next, Mike Kliss will join us and go through the injuries and the addition of Latavius Murray. Broncos added a running back last night. Find out more about Latavius Murray and what his role will be Thursday night with Mike Kliss next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Big O in for Stink, who'll be back here on Fridays doing some national TV work for Fox Sports this week. So we'll welcome Stink back with open arms. Got Orlando Franklin, Big O, sitting in. Mike Kliss is going to join us here in just a couple of moments. It's a Leftovers Tuesday where we give you a chance to kind of go through some of the things that weren't necessarily talked about in the immediate aftermath of the game Sunday night, Monday morning. So things that you wanted to comment on that caught your attention, hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Brock Heward from our sister station in Seattle, our Russell Wilson whisperer, will join us an hour from now. So we look forward to all of that. A lot of people commenting on Garrett Bowles' effort. On the fumble return for a touchdown, as he certainly made a hustle play running down the field. But what do you think as an offensive lineman about that little dive he took?
He lacks depth perception. I thought he was closer than he really was. I loved the effort. Look, on a play like that, you got to understand, a offensive lineman knows typically what you'll see a lot of guys in the position like that. They'll just stop running because what's getting ready to happen? The team's getting ready to kick a field goal, do a kickoff, and now you're back out there. And you got to go against, you're already going against guys that are more athletic than you, and you have to go backwards. So I love the effort. I know it's funny because he was like a mile away in his dive, But you got to realize that every offensive lineman in that position, when receivers or guys that are faster or ahead of them by 10, 15 yards, they'll just stop because they know that right after they score this touchdown, you're going to be right back up there. The offense is going to be up.
I pull all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
Mike Kliss joins us, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike, good morning. Tell us how the Latavius Murray signing came to pass.
Yes, you know, I think it's not necessarily for this Thursday. You know, I wouldn't recommend a guy playing in London on Sunday and coming back to play for a new team on Thursday, never mind the playbook, never mind the, you know, picking up things. You know, I think going forward, you've got Javonte Williams is injured and out for the year. You've got Melvin with fumbling problems. I think Latavius Murray is for the rest of the year and, you know, maybe even lead back rest of the year starting the following week against the Chargers. That would make a little more sense here. But, you know, he's on the practice squad. He had 57 yards as an elevated from the practice squad running back for the Saints in London against the Vikings. Had a touchdown, 11 carries. But you automatically revert back to the practice squad. So the Broncos call. I'm sure the Saints tried to keep him, but he has Ingram and Kamara there. And, you know, I think he sees a clearer path with the Broncos. And so he's a Bronco and see what happens for the rest of the season. Not ideal. You know, he's 32 years old, but, you know, it's better than, you know, where it appeared yesterday morning for the Broncos running back room.
So this is Melvin Gordon's last chance then to show that he can be a guy that they can trust as the lead guy.
I think so. You know, I mean, you know, put it this way, he cannot fumble this Thursday night against the Colts. That's how I would put it with Melvin. He would be in, he's in the doghouse now. He does have a chance. Some people think he's already had his last chance. But because of the Thursday night game, you know, if it was a Sunday game, who knows what would have happened. But it's a Thursday game. They're going to ride it with Melvin. You know, if Melvin comes through, he's in good shape. But, yeah, I would say he's now on a week-to-week basis.
Mike, I want to ask you a kind of at the bottom of the roster when it comes to snaps, you know, and see if you know what the Broncos are trying to do. Alberto, one offensive snap this past game, and KJ Hamler, we saw him have an impact on the game. We saw the explosive, but what could be the plan to implement these guys a little bit more? Because KJ Hamler played only 4 offensive snaps this past week and had that one target where Alberto had one offensive snap. And kind of getting to the point where if you're going to only get 5 snaps combined offensively from both of these guys, why are we using a game day roster spot as far as what you're allowed to dress? I think it's only 48 guys. Why are we using spots on guys that only played 5 snaps in the game offensively? Total combined.
Yeah, I think there are two different situations. You know, I think KJ Hamler, because of the injuries, they just, you know, he's just hasn't been all the way back from those injuries. And it's a situation where he has to play his way into more playing time. And that 55-yarder is going to help him get more snaps this Thursday against the Colts. In Albert O's case, you wonder if he played himself out of snaps. With the only one, you know, I think the week before Big O, he had 22 snaps and I think they're all pass plays. And so there's concern, obviously, you know, you can deduce, I don't know this, I haven't been told this, but you can deduce there's concern about Albert O and blocking in the run game. And that's why, Eric Saubert, by the way, I owe you a coffee drink. Eric Saubert played 77% of the offensive snaps. And Greg Dulcich, from what I understand, Greg Dulcich is not only practicing this week, there's a good chance he plays Thursday against the Colts. They want Dulcich to be the starting tight end. And how soon that happens probably depends on Dulcich, but he's the guy that they have plans for. And So that's what's going on with Albert O. And KJ Hamler just playing himself back into the lineup. And I think that'll start happening after what he did, you know, with that nice catch the other day against the Raiders.
Mike, we've got about a minute left. Randy Gregory update. Seeing some conflicting reports about how long he's going to be out. How long do you think he'll be out? And are we looking at him going on injured reserve?
He'll go on IR, and I think he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks. I think you're looking at with when you're having a scope and you know that the type of player he is with the burst that he needs to come off that edge. You know, I'm thinking it's going to be about a 2 month injury.
Okay.
So they hope to have him, you know, at the end of December, you know, for the final 4 or 5 game push in December, January.
All right, Mike. Good stuff. Thanks you very much. Mike.
You got it, guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, joining us, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Oh, you've had that kind of injury, that kind of surgery mid-season. We'll get your thoughts on how long you really think Randy Gregory will be out and what kind of return can we expect from him and how can he impact the rest of the season. We'll get to that and the rest in 4-down territory next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.